Audacity. Who gave you attitude? No sovereignty for the Maroons, the Jamaican Prime Minister warns, and more in this edition of the Caribbean News Roundup. I'm Ken Richards, the news coming right up. There will be no sovereignty for the Maroons of Jamaica. That was spelled out by Prime Minister Andrew Holness during a press conference on Sunday. In a rather angry and strong tone, Prime Minister Holness asserted that there is no other independent state in Jamaica other than the government of Jamaica that was duly elected by the people to govern the country. In responding to a question from a media representative, the Prime Minister virtually ripped into the issue of possible Maroon autonomy that has been creeping into the national debate over time, especially since last year.
Did the government seek legal advice on its decision to disengage with so-called sovereign Maroons? And would the government not be derelict in refusing to finance projects in any such territories? And a companion question, whether the government finds it embarrassing that it seems that different arms of the state, that's the police and ODPEM, as we found out, gave approval to the hosting of the Maroon celebrations.
Your question is based on a very dangerous premise. And I said earlier that there are some threats that the average citizen looking on might think it is innocuous, it is popular, and take a liking to it. Because the discussions that are held in places that should know better does not highlight the threat. Jamaica is a unitary sovereign state. There is no other sovereign authority in Jamaica other than the government of Jamaica. I want that to be absolutely clear. None. And under my leadership, not one inch of Jamaica will come under any other sovereign authority. What you are asking would be another for the government of Jamaica to fund, take taxpayers' money and grant funds to fund another government. This is not a government saying they are a local government, a parish council government, which is under our constitution. Are you crazy? Really? Do you know what you're asking? This is the stuff of how guerrilla wars come and states break down. Wake up, Jamaica. Don't court foolishness and problems. Wake up. People have died as a result. And you expect me to stand here as Prime Minister and fund activities that could lead to the breakdown of our state? Never.
Former LEAD workers still owed millions of dollars in severance pay have indicated that they are about to undertake protest action. Hayes Observer Radio's Gemma Handy.
Beleaguered former LEAD workers still fighting for more than 120 million EC dollars owed in severance and other entitlements have hinted at forthcoming protest action. Around 500 ex-employees of the regional carrier currently in administration have been fighting for their dues for almost 2 years since the airline's collapse. A new downsized incarnation of LEAD has been operating a reduced schedule with a limited workforce since November 2020. Around a dozen pilots are among those still employed, albeit on half the salary they received before LEAD's collapse. But the bulk of the carrier's former staff have been left out in the cold. Arian Blanchard of the Pilots Association Lealpa spoke to ZDK Radio.
Even though Prime Minister Brown is offering what would be his fair share, which is 35% entitlements, which is also equal to 50% severance, he's trying to take all the chattel rights for that amount. So this is where we have the issue. If he was just offering that percentage, I don't see that there would have been any issue with the employees accepting that. But when you're saying that that's it, that puts you between a rock and a hard place. The next move right now is we plan to protest in a few days. This is going to take place in the LEAD network. The unions are united. The employees are still like a family, even though we've all been to hell and back. We will speak more about those planned protests in the next few days.
The road to the January 19th general election in Barbados is as expected, reflecting a heated election campaign. According to Prime Minister Mia Motley, the choice is clear. She has been telling Barbadians that they cannot be reckless with the country's future. The opposition parties are hoping, however, that her message will this time fall on deaf ears. Here is Barbados Today.
And it worries me that what we have parading as a party asking you for the vote is nothing but a collection of people otherwise known as a political pillow. A little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this. A political 1, 2, 3. At the very time when your country is facing its greatest peril.
She strongly defended her government's track record, pointing to achievements and policies outlined in the party's manifesto, released on Saturday.
It speaks to core values of transformation. It speaks to drivers of national transformation. It speaks about changing the disproportionate relationship between who got medical insurance and who don't got, and why you should be able to get it in this country, and why you should be able to have fairness when you get it.
But the leader of the Alliance Party for Progress, Bishop Joseph Avali, insists that Barbadians must not return all 30 BLP candidates to the House of Assembly. In a recorded statement, the former opposition leader made it clear Barbados must reject a call by Prime Minister Mia Motley for one-partyism.
As leader of the opposition, and of course as political leader of the Alliance Party for Progress, I really do decry the Prime Minister's call for Barbadians to give the Barbados Labour Party all 30 seats in the House of Assembly in the next election.
On the DLP platform, President Verla DePisa rubbished the Prime Minister's claims that Barbadians were voting for an opposition. Speaking at the national meeting at Haggett Hall last evening, DePisa said her party isn't campaigning to form an opposition, but rather it is ready to take the reins of leadership.
And seeing all of you come out tonight, I am satisfied that you are not playing for second place.
The St. Vincent and the Grenadines finance minister is among four ministers to test positive for COVID-19 during the country's budget debate. The number of government MPs to test positive for COVID-19 doubled on Tuesday as Finance Minister Camilo Gonzalez and Minister of Urban Development Senator Julian Francis received positive test results. The development forced the suspension of the budget debate on a day that opposition leader Goodwin Friday was scheduled to respond to the EC $1.33 billion fiscal package that Minister Gonzalez presented on Monday evening. The two COVID-19 infections are in addition to Minister of Agriculture Saboto Caesar and Education Minister Curtis King, diagnosed on the weekend. Also indisposed on Tuesday were Deputy Prime Minister Montgomery Daniel and the government senator. Prime Minister Ralph Gonsalves told Parliament that the two were not available because of, quote, a digestion problem, end quote. According to Eyewitness News, the budget address focused largely on the COVID-19 pandemic and the government's response to it in 2022. In Trinidad and Tobago, doctors are bracing for a spike in Omicron cases in children. At the Ministry of Health's update on COVID-19, one emergency medicine specialist said more children are expected to be hospitalized with the COVID-19 Omicron variant across Trinidad and Tobago in the next few weeks. More from TTT News.
The medicine specialist of the Pediatric Emergency Department at the Eric Williams Medical Sciences Complex, Dr. Joanne Paul, said the trends based on data from territories like the United Kingdom and the United States suggest that in children, obesity is the main risk factor, aside from cancer and syndromes that cause lower immunity, including sickle cell disease and cerebral palsy.
I want you to make sure you get your adolescent child vaccinated as soon as possible. We're expecting a 3 to 5-fold increase in the admissions to hospital.
She said the most common symptoms for children with Omicron is fever and multi-system inflammatory syndrome, MISI. Dr. Paul said so far the 0 to 5 age group presents sick with fever and a croup cough.
Croup is really where the upper airway in the child, already small, becomes a bit inflamed and so they can't breathe as much.
Grenada police have arrested and charged a lecturer at a tertiary institution with 4 counts of indecent assault. Here is GBN News.
Police have not disclosed nor wished to confirm the name of a well-known lecturer on the island, accused of 4 counts of indecent assault on a 19-year-old, but have confirmed 4 charges slapped on that individual. The individual is described as someone known for his stance and outspokenness on a number of issues, including that of child sexual abuse. According to reports, the alleged victim, believed to be a student of the institution, is from River Road, St. George. The alleged perpetrator was arrested and charged Monday at the South St. George Police Station by officers attached to the Criminal Investigations Department. The incident is reported to have occurred between January 1, 2021 and April 18, 2021. This matter, GBN understand, has been under investigation since October 2021. The accused has been placed on bail in the sum of $10,000 with one surety and will make his first court appearance at the St. George's Magistrate Court on February 8, 2022.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Wednesday, 12th January. I'm Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.
The Caribbean News Roundup. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. At 7:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 6 p.m. Get to know our region even better with OSAR Radio.